This is RSBNB Update, episode 552, recorded Friday, February 5th, 2016, in joyful inventioneering. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Colton's back this week.
Hello, that's me.
And, of course, someone from RSBNB Informer also joining us here, the one who makes all the Informer articles look good if there's any problems with them, King Collett Patrick.
Hello again, guys.
So you make the Informer writers look good if they screw something up.
Well, most of them, you know, some of them I don't have to make them look good. They're just, you know, they automatically look good. And, you know, most of them are from this guy called, I don't know, what's his name? It starts with an S. Shane, I think isn't his name, something like that.
I think it's Sean.
I think his articles are usually good without me having to look at them. But I think for the most part, tend to make
good
them
guy,
look
Sean.
A little better.
Well, thanks for the plug there. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, we always enjoy Dear Leader's articles, right? Right, guys?
Anyways, this week's RS update is the Zodiac Training Treasure Hunter promotion that was announced on Monday, February 1st, and came into game on the 4th of February. And will only be in game until the 10th.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is an update that, you know, is like many of the other updates that come into game in this day and age, where, you know, it appears and then, it's all gone a week later, which I'm not sure how we feel about that. But, I mean, given the modern RS schedule where we have questing and larger headlining updates each month, I guess that is to be expected that we're going to have smaller filler content like this, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So, this is to coincide with the Chinese New Year, specifically. It's much like last year's Zodiac training event. You get a card when you open up Treasure Hunter, and on that card, you'll have a number of tasks that you can complete. And all of these tasks do ultimately yield various different things at the end of the day in terms of what you get. So, for example, some of the tasks are, you know, cooking 28 items on a player-made fire, or, you know, fletching 3,000 broad bolts, or, you know, making 300 Ceridoan brews. Very interesting tasks all along the way. And, I mean, they give XP lamps and coins, and at the end of the day, a dragon trinket that can be used to gain XP in one of the four skills, you know, artisan, support, combat, and gathering. So it jumps back and forth based on that. So it is tailored a bit towards your existing skills and whatnot. And these challenges seem kind of hard, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. They, I don't know, a little... To me, they're a little needlessly grindy for the rewards that I'm honestly not too fond of. But hey, I mean, some people are all for it, so.
Yeah, they split them out based on level. So the first batch for levels 1 to 30 are cook 28 items on a player-made fire, catch 15 kebits, successfully pickpocket 40 ham workers, you know, kill 10 NPCs using claws. And, I mean, for me, I don't even have claws, so it require effort to go out and get those. But I guess claws are easy enough to find these days, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah. 31 to 60, find and heal the wounded snake, get 2 bird's nest drops from cutting trees or ivy. That one seems kind of random, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, can wear the rabbit's foot to help you out, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd take a little while to do at least.
Complete 2 sinkholes and earn 5 Castle Wars tickets, whether they're gold or silver, it doesn't matter. So that's good. Hmm. 61 to 80 encompasses what I mentioned, 3,000 broad bolts. 200 Guthixian cash points, 2 Slayer tasks completed from Simona or a higher Slayer master, and defeat 50 ninja monkeys or gorilla in Ape Atoll. So that could be kind of hard, I think.
Yeah.
Level 81, create 140 Ceridoman brews, catch 100 Crimson Skill Chompas, complete 5 medium or large occult or warped dungeoneering floors.
That means you have to actually interact with other humans.
Yeah, yeah.
The dungeoneering community, at least, is, unless you can get like clannies to.
Yeah, that would be the easiest way of doing it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I've seen people from Clan Quest try to group up and do that challenge together. That's
yeah, and finally complete one elite clue scroll, which can be found from the POH Aquarium, or you know any of the other places you can get them. You get them pretty quickly if you're thieving elves, I find.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not as hard to find as they were back in the olden days.
Yeah.
But rewards for each one are the following: medium coin bag, large coin bag, huge fallen star, and a huge XP lamp for completing rows 1 to 4, respectively. And then you get a monkey trinket for completing each column that goes into one of the previous mentioned artisan gathering or support or combat skills that you can choose from. Then, you know what the big thing about this is, Patrick?
I do.
Okay, what is that?
Once you prestige, you will be awarded a Zodiac costume, which you can use to morph into a dragon head, a dragon body, or a dragon tail. You can dress up with friends and follow each other to form a dragon. I think that looks pretty cool.
And you know how many times you can do that to get different colored ones?
5.
1, 2.
5
three,
times.
Four,
5 times.
5.
Well, I just guessed.
So it's ultimately going to require that for each day this is out, that you complete your card. So you have to do all those tasks practically once a day for 5 days.
Interesting.
It seems like a tall order, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Because it's medium dungeoneering floors, and those don't take 5 minutes like the small ones do. Those probably take on the order of 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
And then getting the nest, that I can imagine taking probably the same amount of time.
Yeah, 30 minutes to an hour, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. Elite clue scroll is an hour, so, I mean, you're going to have to do 4 elite clue scrolls in a week. You can get one of them for free. The rest you got to find relatively easily by thieving, I want to say. So it is looking like it's going to be pretty, pretty hard to complete all these.
Unless you get the notes from Treasure Hunter that help mark off each task, which you can sort of check through the longer and more cumbersome tasks if that is sort of something that you fancy.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I do my daily keys and whatnot, and I've done the first 2 days it's been out, and I haven't got any envelopes yet, so
really?
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, I got like, I think I got 12.
Really?
Yeah,
what?
Well, I had 7 keys yesterday that I had sort of banked up
anticipation. All right.
And unfortunately, I'm not really a fan of much of the rewards, but I just thought like, oh, I'll get the large lamp, I'll get the large cash bag, that kind of thing. So I just checked off a few of those. I still have a few sitting in my bank, but yeah, they're not too rare.
Really? So how did I go 4 keys without getting one?
I don't really know. Yeah, you're still okay. Yeah, you're not 3 keys a day anymore. I do. Yeah, that's helped me, I guess. I've turned in, I think, a total of 7 keys to your 4. So maybe that I just may have gotten lucky. But
and
I bet
did those 12 come in more than one drop? Or
yeah, it
okay.
was. I think it was. They come in like 2s and 4s for the more common.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you were lucky.
Somewhat. I mean, I got, I think, at least 3 or 4 drops, as it were, on the Treasure Hunter. So, and I actually have 3 keys right now, so I'm going to see if I can get more. But, yeah, I don't think they're too bad.
Yeah, and when you run around and find the snake, you can also get an XP lamp from the snake, so... It's basically a way of getting free XP, I want to say. I mean, it seems like a good promotion, and it's not one of the ones that's horribly overpowered like some of the other ones. So I can see people doing this, but for me personally, I'm not going to do this. I would much rather be investing the time on RS, working on inventioneering, and that's a new one.
Inventioneering.
Wow. Inventioneering, Shane. First we had we couldn't say divination. It was always dungeoneering, and now it's inventioneering. Interesting. Just can't shake that dungeoneering bug, can you, Shane?
I haven't set foot in a dungeon aside from a daily challenge since level 80.
Oh, we all know it's
80.
Your favorite skill. It's okay. You can't hide it.
It's really not. It's really not. Okay. But anyway.
What I like about these challenges is that it seems like they're based like all around RuneScape. So they might be places that you haven't been to for, you know, quite a while. And it kind of guiding you to, you know, explore those places again, I think, and try to, you know, say you haven't been to Castle Wars in a while. You know, one of your tasks is to go there. Then you're like, oh, well, this is kind of fun. I can't remember the last time I did Castle Wars, that sort of thing, you know? So I kind of like that. It's kind of showing you how to, you know, explore RuneScape again.
Are you going to come back for the fun
of it? Am I going to come back? Well, you never know. The future can hold many possible outcomes.
Yeah, the future is now.
What is your divination skill, Shane?
Divination.
Yeah, divination.
99.
Well, then you should know whether I'm going to come back or not, Shane. Can you not divine the future?
Okay, that's enough from you. That's enough from you. We're going to move on to the invention cosmetics if there's nothing else on this part of the update.
I mean, I think that this is, although it's not a promotion that really piques my interest, I think it's one of the better ones that they like to do. So I'm glad that they've kind of gone back to this because it's not extremely like pay to win or anything like that or overpowered. So yeah, not too bad.
All right. Sounds good. So as mentioned, we also got some tweaks and fixes to Invention this week. We'll get through the vast majority of them in just a wee bit. But first off, cosmetics. We got the lab coat, light bulb hat, professor title, portable spellbook and prayer book switcher, and the Invention skill cape, as well as the retro Invention skill cape.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you did some digging on these, and what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, all I could really find was that the lab coat is, you can unlock that at level 69. I think it's with, it's a combination of padded parts and a few other things. You basically have to, you need 2 fine cloth and just some regular invention components to put it together on your workbench. I think you have to discover it with your, I don't know if you have to discover it or not via the blueprints, but the actual portable spellbook / prayer book switcher for the dwarf, that's on the dwarven side of the tech tree. So that unlocks at level 78. I'm not entirely sure what you need for it.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I'm not level 78 yet. I probably will be eventually, but I've kind of paused my invention training for now. So that's interesting. I'm not sure what it would be at if you choose Goblin Tech. I'd imagine it'd probably be in the
20 higher.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow, 98. Okay, interesting. And the professor title is unlocked at level 95 invention, and you have to spend like 6,000 inspiration to get the title, so that's a thing.
Yeah, for a title. I mean, I was a little bit surprised finding the lab coat at only level 69.
Yeah, they almost made it sound like it was supposed to be like a really high level thing in the news post.
Yeah, you're right. Like they chained them two together because they say a hint. You say, "Oh, go on." Then the lab coat might need a fine cloth or two to put together. Okay, so there's the pieces that you need right there. Then it also says, most professors are pretty old, right? Around 95, I suppose? That's all you're getting for now. Get cracking. So there are two hints in there then.
Yeah, I guess they kind of separated them. They felt linked when they put them together.
Yeah, it did. So, I mean, there's six things here. Five if you don't include the spellbook switcher, because that's a device. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, we're not in the business of crafting cosmetics, I want to say. But, I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. It's kind of underwhelming, but we don't want to sell cosmetics, right?
I don't know. I think it's just sort of a tide you over until we add more actual content to the skill sort of a thing. Because later in the month, we're going to be getting augmentable tools and things of that nature, which I think will add some significant improvements to what is kind of a one-dimensional combat-oriented skill at this point. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy invention, but it is a little bit... it's really a combat skill at this point.
So yeah, that's right.
See it improved on. I think this is just sort of a... we didn't have these ready for launch, so here you go. Kind of a thing.
Yeah, now a question I have. Does this mean that when you get 99, you need to invent your own skill cape?
I don't know. I don't know anyone who's 99, so I have not heard about that yet.
Because that would be a nice thing if you do actually have to invent your own skill cape once you reach 99.
That'd be interesting.
So, all right. Anyways, let's move on to the patchy patch notes then for this week.
Patch.
Yeah. So a bunch of stuff starting off with the invention fixes this week. So first up, players should now be able to correctly augment Akrise's body and legs. So that was missing from the first one. Carl's top is also augmentable now.
Thank goodness.
And now this is the one that was announced the Friday before when we recorded, but didn't make it to game until this Monday. Reduce the material cost to manufacture an equipment siphon to 50 simple parts, 5 dexterous components, and 5 precious components. And this plunged the price of these down from around 3 million on the GE down to, I want to say, around 250K. I'm not sure what they are now, but that was the immediate reaction when these came out. So I'm happy about this.
I'm fairly pleased about it. I mean, that was the biggest issue with it. It was just such a pain because it used to be, I think it was 200 simple parts, 20 dexterous, and 20 precious. And so it's literally been cut in a quarter. So, yeah, that really helps because it was a pain in the butt just to get all, like, the precious components especially. Except, I know that Slayer gems were easy, but I never did that. But
yeah, and I mean, when it comes down to it, this is basically saying to Jagex, we want you to be augmenting your weapons, using them, leveling them, siphoning them, rather than, you know, just destroying them because that's the fastest form of XP.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we mentioned last week, it's actually been proven that the best way of leveling your invention in terms of the least amount of difference between skills and weapon levels and whatnot is to siphon off at level 9. If you're going to be wanting to keep your weapon. Because let's face it, what can you do with a tier 70 weapon compared to what can you do with a tier 80 weapon or a tier 75 weapon? There's a big difference there between your combat effectiveness.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I mean, you don't want to go around destroying staves of light or chaotic crossbows or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that. So, this is good. And once again, it reinforces the combat aspect of it, but it helps us train invention and basically gets us into a nice groove, I feel.
Yeah.
Let's see, moving on. Abyssal Wands and Orbs no longer give Zaro's components when disassembled. Zamorak Milnors now give Zamorakian components. Players can now right-click on the money pouch in Legacy Mode to check their invention materials. Let's see. Players' invention levels are now taken into account when entering a skill total world, and some rather funny things can no longer be disassembled, including imp boxes, fishing bait, the Kresbot, fish in bowls, and the corpse of woman.
Wonder what components the Crestbot and the Corpse of Woman gave.
Apparently the Corpse of Woman gave simple components.
Wow. All right.
How misogynist.
Yeah. Eesh.
That was from the Mountain Quest in 2005.
That's what that's from. Okay. Who in the world had those? Goodness.
And the Crestbot is from, well, or The World Wakes?
Yeah.
And what did that do in that quest?
Pet. It's just a pet that you, it's like a drop, and it's a fairly rare drop. Do you have one, Shane?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you have to fight the automatons, and they're like, I think they're at least 1 in 100, 1 in 200. They take a little while to get, if not they're more than that, I think. But regardless, why would you disassemble a Crestbot? I know that people have stacks of them in their banks, but still seems kind of an odd object to try and... All of those seem, especially the Crestbot and the Corpse of Woman seem...
Well, also the pet fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Glad they fixed it. Good on you, Jagex.
The Corpse of Woman is an item that was briefly used during the Mountain Daughter quest. March 2005.
Strange. And could you even get multiple of them?
Let's see. Apparently, if you try to get more than one, you'll get a message that says, "This must be someone else's corpse. You already have Asleep's corpse."
Wow. Shocking that someone actually found this then.
RuneScape trying to convert you into a serial killer. No, this must be someone else's corpse. Go kill someone else. Oh, dear. Well, it's a good thing they patched that out, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what players will find when they just trying random things. Oh, I wonder if this will work.
RuneScape's not that kind of fantasy game.
No.
Also, the guards near the Varrock Lodestone have finally put away their Christmas decorations.
Time.
Here's a big one, a really big one. New players are automatically switched into Revolution mode after the Ashdale tutorial.
Good.
Yes,
it was kind of off-putting for players to kind of jump into the game and have to do full manual when there's a much easier and I don't know. I don't want to say it caters to casuals, but it kind of does. I just feel like it's a good update. It's a good way to get people introduced into this combat system, because especially you don't want them starting out in Legacy, because that's not what the game is. But I feel like a lot of people are off put by manual because it's a little too much clicking for some. So I think it was a good idea to start them off in Revolution instead.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know why they didn't do it this week, and I don't know when it's going to be coming, but they did say it was that they're going to be killing off momentum.
Really? Entirely?
Mm-hmm.
About friggin' time. It's been dead for ever since it came. It's been bad.
Yeah, and when you think about it, Legacy mode was the final nail in the coffin for that one.
I honestly forgot it was even a thing.
Yeah, it's so horrible, the amount of damage. Okay. But anyways, on to some more for this week. Tool leprechauns are after your gold. They will now agree to automatically fertilize your farming patches using the compost or super compost you have stored with them when you either harvest, clear, or weed a patch. They charge 500 GP for normal compost and 1500 GP for super compost. So this means that you need to have the compost already, and we got a bit of a gold sink here.
Yeah. I have a feeling that would add up. I don't know.
It would.
Personally, I don't mind having
I mean, when you think about it, that's a good 7,500 off of your profits from your herb farming run.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely not something, you know, you want to do just out of the heck of it. I think it's a case for laziness. And it kind of takes away from what farming was initially. But if there are players who want to do this and help the economy by sinking that much gold each time they harvest or clear, I say go for it.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
Also, they have graphically updated the fruit trees grown with the farming skill.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was happy about this. I mean, these are the same models that have been in the game ever since farming came out, and that was before RSHD, and of course through RS3, and we have NXT on the horizon. So I think that this was overdue, and a lot of them, in fact, most of them are pretty good. I'm particularly a fan of the new palm tree model. The papaya one is okay, but the rest of them are nice. So I'm happy with this part of the update. I mean, it's not something that most normal people will look at, but for someone who's done so many farming fruit tree runs, it's definitely something that I see daily with that. So definitely have a look. I'll post some pictures of that on somewhere, probably in the show notes or RuneWire or something like that. But when this came out, I did a farming run, and I planted one of each tree.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I got that farming run on video, so I'll post that with the notes.
How did it look?
Very good. Very good. I'd show you if I had screen sharing right now, but I do not. But, yeah, looks pretty good, I think. Also, Castle Wars barricades can no longer be shot over by magic and ranged attacks. Is this game breaking?
They were able to be. I've just not played Castle Wars in a very long time. Were they always able to be shot over?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I seem to remember being able to shoot over them.
I've never really seen, honestly, barricades be used often, because I think actual professional, like, Castle Wars players are so few and far between these days. But that is interesting. I guess that could be game-breaking if used properly.
Well, I mean, not game-breaking. I should have rephrased that to game-changing.
Game-changing, yeah.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, especially the ninja fixes here. So, as always, you know, the devil is in the details, and this week, I have to say the highlight of this week's update for me is the upgraded trees.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course, eh? Of course, of course. So, anyways, you know, that transitions nicely into something we can talk about, right?
Yes.
Jagex wants us to vote in the Eastern Lands content on Rune Labs. Not enough voting going on, so if you haven't, I don't blame you for not taking a look at what you see on Rune Labs, but there's a whole bunch of things you can check out. There's three JMod ones that have been recommended. Mod Osborne recommends The Weather is a Boss. Mod Shawnee recommends Temple in the Sky. And Mod Matthew recommends The Skilling Boss. The Angry Koala is what The Skilling Boss is. That one personally sounds the most interesting out of the three that they've curated. But we've also curated our own that you can have a look at. You know which one I chose?
No, go ahead and tell us, Jane.
I chose the Eastern Farming, contributed by a Transcendent.
No.
And no one was shocked.
Oh, gosh.
Grow familiar and new plants in the Eastern Lands. The Eastern people, because of living on islands, have learned to grow large amounts of produce in small areas. So instead of one herb patch where you can plant one seed, they figured out how to use five seeds in one patch and get more produce out of farming and XP without much running around. Unlike on the mainlands, where trees are mostly spread around randomly, similar to the banana plantation on Kiremja, the Eastern people have figured out how to grow large numbers of fruit trees in a small area and create orchards where you can plant many trees in a small area. You will find new things to plant, such as fig trees, passion fruits, cherry trees, leech tree fruits, and more. Learn how Eastern people grow large amounts of produce in smaller areas and train your farming more efficiently.
Very nice. How many supports does it have?
Currently has 46.
Hmm. Needs a little love.
Yeah, so I'm highly recommending that everyone check this one out. I'm personally most interested in the orchard aspect of this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know about you guys, but what do you guys got?
Yours sounds nice, but I am a questing person. And I think that Balance of Power, which is an Elder Sword / Guthixian / Art Quest, that was actually, it's a concept of the actual person who suggested the Arc region in the first place, which is Avernick. The description kind of goes on. I'll briefly sort of read. In Balance of Power, travel to the newly opened Arc with either Karasi or Jessica of the Void Knights in order to once again find the Valuta's domain, where the Kruxikal believe you can fix the Elder Sword. In order to locate the chamber, you will need to conduct your own investigation among the locals, learn of Guthix's early days of Gilinor, and fend off those who desire the sword for themselves, such as the greedy Khan of Wyko or the heretical purists. It's basically a big Guthix plus Eastern Lands kind of quest, and I think it sounds really interesting, and all the Guthixian stuff would be nice. So I like the quest idea.
All right, and that's got 300 supporters, so it's not in danger of losing like mine is.
It sounds kind of cool, too, like a quest where you, you know, fix a sword. It's kind of that, you know, stereotypical Arthurian legend, but with a bit of, you know, a bit of gods mixed in as well.
Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see if it does win out, to see sort of those storylines sort of mix. I think it's a good concept.
Yeah, well, I wonder how many are going to pull, because that one's number 3 right now.
Mm-hmm. Though it's hard to, and we've discussed this before, that the number one winner of Rune Labs is perpetually the one that does not actually win in the polls. So, I don't know. We'll see.
It's just like the presidential primaries. Whoever wins Iowa is not guaranteed to win the nomination.
We can get into the details of Iowa's history later. But regardless, the one that is in first place is also rather interesting. How about you explain that one, Patrick?
Well, I had a look at the first few here, and the one that jumped out at me the most was the called Wilderness 2, the islands that were once were turtles. And just looking at the title itself, you know, the islands that once were turtles, you have to think there's gotta be a big story behind that, right? You know, something that you'd probably want to, you know, have explained and whatnot, and that would be kind of cool in a quest, and you can figure out what actually happened. So the first little blurb that it's on it here says, legend says that large turtles swam in the waters of the Ark, turned to stone by mysterious forces. The islands are largely uninhabited, and being mainly stone, lack much of the resources held by the other islands of the Ark. And it's, you know, going on to explain a bunch of them, but I don't know. It seems really interesting how the derelict isles kind of resemble, you know, lands similar to the wilderness and whatnot. It just seems really cool to me.
And it does have a PvP component, which you did back in your prime.
In my prime, yes. My RuneScape prime, I should say.
He's really old.
I'm younger than you.
The only issue I have with this, well, I have an issue with this. I like the idea of the islands being kind of dangerous and unique, but I don't know. In the modern game, let's face it, the wilderness is dead. I don't see much of a point. And the thing is that the mod responses down here kind of indicate that basically they're like, yeah, PvP would be nice here, and if you win, we'll keep the PvP, but we're going to do it totally differently. And so, I don't know. I don't see why we would throw PvP into another area unless they do something dramatically different and they do like Bounty Hunter style or something like that there, which they've always teased at doing again but never actually implemented. But I feel like it would be dead content if they just made it a strict PvP.
Yeah, set. It is kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Because, as we've talked about before, if you're bringing PvP back to the game, you need to have a multiplaying PvP strategy.
Yeah.
And that needs to focus in on gear, the combat system itself, places to do PvP, and reasons to do PvP. So, I mean, you can't just, you know, drop it somewhere and hope it'll work, right?
Exactly. So.
And I think in the JMod responses, they were actually talking about how they're not wanting to just replicate the wilderness because, you know, I don't think that would be really helpful. I think what they're looking for is, you know, turning it into not really a PvP zone, but something that would incorporate, you know, something like that in there, but not, you know, having the wilderness, which, you know, sounds intriguing but they'd have to do it right, of course. They can't just go, you know, half baked in there and then not do it to the full extent. And of course, there'd have to be some support from other players too, right? Because if no one's in there, then there's not much point to a PvP zone, right?
Yeah. Episode 540 was titled "The Multiplaying PvP Strategy." October 24th, 2015. In that episode, Colt and I outline the necessities for PvP to come back to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, check that out if you're wondering what the multiplaying PvP strategy is. So, but yeah, I mean, you are right in that these ideas that are on top don't necessarily win because the Rune Labs community is different than the actual Jagex community, right? So,
yeah.
And this one's up way ahead with 497 votes. So it's not like this one's going to be dethroned anytime soon. And I mean, like, going into these things, I would really appreciate knowing how many are going to poll. Is it going to be 3? Is it going to be 2? Is it going to be 5? That way then we can say, are we going to target, you know, what's our threshold of support that we need to target, right? Because right now for top 5, it's 230 votes. So, be nice to know that going forward. But, yeah, I'm content with Eastern farming. That seems like one of the simpler things that could be brought in here.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, let's move on then to the behind-the-scenes video for next week, including Sliske's scoreboard. So, this is a piece of an update that is going to be relating to Nomad's Elegy and the other Sliske's quests that are coming out this year. Specifically, it's going to be a scoreboard of what gods have killed who so far.
It's going to be a boring scoreboard.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously there's going to be some content coming into play where this is going to get used going forward, but right now nothing much has happened. And they did say that you can expect to see some movement on the scoreboard after Nomad's Elegy. So, be interesting to see what goes on here. I mean, on the scoreboard, just looking at the behind-the-scenes video, you have Sliske, Armadil, Virago, Saradomin, Brassica Prime, Ikhlorin, Zaros, Saren, Zamorak, Marimbo, Bandos, and Tuska.
Yep.
With the columns K, W, L, and S.
For kills,
wins
and losses. I don't. That's strange. I guess wins and losses for like
the world events. I guess.
Yeah, which I guess that's kind of a cop out because it was supposed to be just god kills in the end, but now it's like god fist fights. If you won a fist fight, it's all right.
Yeah, and then what would S be?
Wait, there's an S column?
Yeah.
I have no clue. Succumbed to the victor. I don't. Succeeded. I'm grasping at straws here.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea either. Patrick?
I'm not too sure. Maybe it's something to do with Sliske himself.
Sliske points. Just because I like you.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Hey, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. That does seem like the kind of thing he would do.
Maybe.
And this will be coming into the game next week, and there's also going to be a component of it where you can take souls to it that you find while skilling throughout the world and get XP lamps. So.
I'll take that.
Yeah, and also watch this video because they got something that is called, and I quote, this is 100% quote here from Maud Osborne, gone in Sliske seconds.
No.
It's basically a 60-second summary of, Sliske's acts and doings and how he came into being and everything he's been up to on Gielinor since he appeared. So
they totally cheated.
Oh?
Oh, can you not tell? There is no way that Maud Osborne was actually able to speak that fast. If you listen real close to the audio, it looks like sped it up to like 1.5 times. I listen to enough podcasts on increased speed that I can tell they cheated.
All right. Yeah. And I mean, when I was listening to it, you do have to go at you know, 10 seconds at a time to really get what's being said. So,
yeah.
But this is coming next week. And we will have a preview, apparently, next week's behind the scenes of Nomad's Elegy.
Woo, quest!
Yeah. And speaking of quests, we also learned the timetable of this. We're going to have one in May. The next one will be in May. And then Autumn for Fate of the Gods 2. And then end of the year will be the final quest.
So exciting. Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Going to be a very interesting time for questing, that's for sure. So,
no doubt.
And, I mean, I think their number one problem that they could run into with doing quests like this for the rest of the year is that they are going to have to make sure that they keep the level up in terms of quality that they maintained throughout 2015 of all their quests. Otherwise, you're going to have players who, you know, did the intermediate quests, but are going to be a little bit let down by what we have here. So the quality needs to remain high, and I personally have no doubts that they will be able to do that. But that's the only caution that I have to put out there, is that things have been so good that anything less than what we had before is going to seem really bad for the scale of quest. So
yeah, no, I feel the same.
Yep. Anyways, that's it for this week's RS updates, everyone. Hopefully that was enjoyable to you.
Enjoyful?
Are you doing...
No, I'm just curious. I've never heard the word enjoyful before.
Well, you know, I make words up from time to time.
Oh, that's true. Fair enough.
It really is. It really is. But anyways... We're going to move on to the questions right now. So the first one is a question from the RR Man. An audio question at that. First time he's back in 2016. Now I need to find his question, and we'll hit the play button right now. Okie dokie, here we go.
G'day, mate. How's it going, Shane? Happy New Year. Long time no question. And Colton. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I almost dropped my crystal hatchet when I heard the news. Bloody exciting stuff. Kind of hope you stay around for the whole year, actually. Now, moving on to my question slash rant slash public service announcement. I guess you've read the behind the scenes, but this mimic boss sounds bloody ridiculous. We've been talking about it over on Arius Weekly, your sister podcast, as some people have put it. anyway, we're all deciding we want to sort of boycott it, because it's just ridiculous. It's it's a boss you've got to bloody pay for, pretty much. Yeah, hey, you get a couple of them free, but, you know, the first drug's always free. So, yeah, we all think we're standing on the edge of the slippery slope right now. So, yeah, what do you think about this? And maybe put it out there to people that they shouldn't use their 5 free, quote-unquote, kills a day. Because it's just showing Jagex that we want this sort of thing, or we approve of this sort of thing. So yeah, I'm not going to use them. I've got plenty of other ways to get whatever overpowered rewards this thing gives. That's enough from me. Check out the Friday episode of Iris Weekly. I'm on it. Peace out.
Oh my. All right.
Are you
so
mying at the question, the plug, or the boss?
Oh, just everything. He is RR Man is quite the character. He's a charismatic fellow. That's all I'll say. But
yeah, well, he's from down there.
Yeah, yeah. What are you gonna get with the Kiwis? But I'll just read a little. I think that things with the Mimic Boss have been taken a little bit out of proportion. And for this reason, I will read directly from the behind the scenes for February of 2016. Here down, hidden at the very bottom, new boss, the Mimic. Finally, there will be a new boss hanging around for just one weekend called the Mimic Boss. It's like a massive treasure chest, but it's alive and it wants to eat you. There are 4 levels of boss you can fight, with the higher levels offering the best rewards. You can defeat the boss up to 5 times per day. Deaths do not count as a failed attempt. More chances are available via Treasure Hunter, and I hear there's a new and rare Tongue Cape 2v1. Disgusting. Now, I think that a lot of the... And as I've heard some of MageBit's complaints, I think that a lot of the complaint about this boss coming into the game has been the perception that it would be sticking around. However, given this news post... I mean, just citing this purely, it looks as though it'll only be around for one weekend, which, although it is, I feel it is a little risky to start doing this kind of thing, because if they do it for one weekend, who's going to stop them from doing it for a month, and then for a year, and then for keeping it in the game, you know? I think that it's acceptable. I'm not too fussed about it. Because it'll only be here for a temporary period of time. And by the sounds of things, I doubt the drops will be spectacular. I think they'll sort of just be limited time cosmetic rewards, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you are entirely right. And I quote, there will be a new boss hanging around for just one weekend. So it's not going to become a permanent fixture. I don't think we know what it's going to drop yet, do we?
I mean, obviously it said something about a tongue cape, but that doesn't appeal to me.
Well, yeah, they say disgusting, right?
Yeah, well, yeah,
that's
they say
disgusting.
That in their own post. But, I mean, I doubt it'll be dropping the new tier 95 weapons for one weekend. I think if that were to happen, I would quit the game, but I know that Jagex won't do that. So I think it'll be fairly reined in. I think if they keep it to a limited time offer, almost like a... Because personally, I never fought Claudia. I know that that wasn't pay to win, but I wasn't around for that. And I didn't really do it. So is the fact... I'm not really fussed about the fact that I didn't get the rewards from it. So to me, this is almost sort of like a holiday event that you can do a little bit extra if you win stuff on the Treasure Hunter. I don't think it's that big of an issue, personally.
And when I was first reading this, I thought, okay, that's interesting. It's going to be a chest, and we have chests in Treasure Hunter, right? So I was thinking, what if this was kind of a way where you could go have a bossing experience, and it would, first of all, the rewards could be past Treasure Hunter things, you know? Like, put the past Treasure Hunter items on a drop table for this boss only, right? And then what you also do is you make this bossing encounter scale in difficulty based on your level and the level of other people who are fighting it. I don't know if it says whether it's solo or not, does it?
No, it does not. It just says that it's a boss.
Okay. So you make it scale based on your level, or if it's a group thing, your party's level, and maybe also make it scale based on your past experience that you have in game, because we know Jagex knows how many times you've killed the Queen Black Dragon, Virago, Kalphite King, that kind of thing. So my idea is that you use it as a boss training ground for the weekend, for new players, saying, okay, there's so many, you know, bosses around RuneScape, Araxor, Virago, Kalphite King, etc., that can net you great profits and great loots from, you know, killing them and whatnot, like Nox's Bow, right, of course, from Araxor. So we're going to teach you how to boss on something that's relatively difficult, that is going to be just difficult enough, but not so difficult that you get massacred, and you're going to learn how to use the combat system better. And while you're doing that, you're going to have a chance to win stuff that was previously on Treasure Hunter, including this new tongue cape. That's the grand prize. And 5 times a day, and over a weekend, is 3 days, because they start on Friday at noon, or, well, Friday at reset time, Saturday and Sunday. So it's basically 15 times that you can kill this. And that should be enough for someone who is wanting to learn bossing. Now, I'm completely with you that if this was to drop items that impacted the game in a, you know, a really meaningful way and shifted the game mechanics, that would be a bad thing to do. But if it's just, you know, past Treasure Hunter cosmetics and maybe a way of having fun with a boss or learning how to boss, I see no problem with that. So, but, I mean, did we answer, you know, the crux of the question that says, is this a slippery slope?
I think so. I think they're a few steps away. I think they've done some more egregious things with Treasure Hunter in the past. So I think this one, I'll give them a pass on the Mimic Boss. If they start making things that are more permanent that you need to actually access real game content with Treasure Hunter, then I'll make a stink about it. But I think they've realized that players won't let them get away with that kind of stuff. So I think they're taming it down a bit.
All right, that's fair. And I mean, I think the most insane thing you can get on Treasure Hunter is Prismatic Fallen Stars.
Even they're so common.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, there's a ranged skill a month. Let's get some ranged bonus XP and obliterate everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean with that, right?
Yeah, so, no, exactly.
There are things that are worse at this time, and if it becomes habit and they become game-breaking, then yeah, sure, we'll make a stink out of it. But let's just see what they do with it first.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
Alrighty, thank you, Mr. RR Man. Good to hear from you again in 2016. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess we should ask Patrick if he has anything on this. So.
Well, I think it's if it's not around for that long, it doesn't seem like it would be that big of a problem. But I do agree with your note that it would be kind of like an introduction to bossing, especially when it said there in the behind the scenes notes that there are 4 different levels of the boss that you can mm-hmm. fight, right? So I mean, if you want to just practice it, you know, the lower levels would probably be better for, you know, trying out how to boss and whatnot. And if you're really going for the loot, then you could obviously try the higher levels. So yeah, it doesn't seem that bad. I don't think, especially if it's not around that much. So yeah, I'd agree with you guys on that one for sure.
Okey-dokey.
Thank you for the question, our man.
You're not going to try his accent again?
No. I did that once before. And I failed pretty miserably.
No one can beat the original.
No.
Yeah, and those accents are hard to duplicate, aren't they?
Yeah. I think we should leave the New Zealanding up to the man. I had to.
Alrighty, well, the next one is the second form of topic that we mentioned you can bring up in 2016, and that's the discussion topics, and that is from Sirion.
Hey there, how are you doing? So, I thought this week's update was pretty boring, so I thought I'd spice things up with a juicy subject to discuss. So the RuneScape Reddit has become quite a popular medium for sharing all kinds of stuff about the game, like comics, information, but also JMOB tweets, for example. While more platforms to talk about RuneScape is not a bad thing, it has its issues, like taking away traffic from the official forums and not being moderated at all by the Jerix team. This means that it can be used as a ranting platform, for example. So, do you think that the existence of the RuneScape Reddit has net positive effects on the RuneScape community, or maybe it's more harmful?
I'll let someone else go first, since I know I'm going to be in the...
You know which side of the argument you fall on, so to speak.
You sure you don't want to get your opinions out
no,
of it?
No, you go for it.
All right. I honestly don't... I don't hate Reddit. I think it's a little bit...
Oh, my God.
You're right there, my friend?
Well, I'm just, you know... We
hey,
do
you
this.
Said, you
we
said
do
you'd
this
let
thing.
First.
I just have to interrupt you because we do this thing where we publish an audio version of the show, but we also publish a version of the show with a screen recording on it. And I just went to the RuneScape subreddit, and there. I mean, there's something that you know I find objectionable. But continue.
Oh, my, okay. I see that too. Okay.
Right.
Now, God, I was going to argue for the Reddit, damn it. I'm just going to close
this,
this
is
tab.
This is a perfect time to tell people.
Now,
if you
hold
wanna,
on.
If you want to see what we're talking about, youtube.com/rsbnbstaff.
I'm going to try. All right, just take it with a grain of salt, at least. I feel like, okay, yes. Reddit is bad because it feeds a complaining sort of type of player. It's to be no, I won't use that wording. It's a fairly negative community overall. I mean, if you were around on the day that Invention was launched and you took a look at the Reddit, oh my God, things were on fire. It was horrible. People were not happy. And it was quite clear. However, I think Reddit is a good avenue, and Shane, I hope you can appreciate this, for freedom of speech. Because it's important to get those things out there. And
oh yeah,
enough...
I have no problem with it from that side of the argument.
Yeah. And that's the only reason. I mean, I did not agree with much of anything that was being said on day of release. Because day of release of any content, you're just going to get a lot of overreactionary, knee-jerk type reactions up there that really don't represent how the community will feel in a matter of days. It's extremely emotional, and I don't think that it's a great place to be at those times. But it's nice to it's a good forum to easily get things out there, get ideas out there, share content, that
kind
of thing.
Yeah, I publicized our survey there and got over 100 responses in 3 days.
Yeah, and I think that, and like you see, like the comics and things like that that are shared and the cool fan art. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, and there's one here showcasing the Catapult Construction Quest right now.
Yeah.
Found this kind of funny while completing Catapult Construction. The delivery dwarf, he says, "You ain't no sailor coming in here trying to trick me." And you say, "I'm a sailor, honest." And he says, "That's a laugh. You ain't even got the right hat on. I don't even think I'm getting through to this guy." And the guy who posted this has a pirate's hat.
Yeah, to me, Reddit is a blessing and a curse. It can bring people together and can be sort of a poison to the community. So, I don't know. It's people are going to vent their feelings somewhere. Reddit has just been the chosen place, along with Twitter, here in the modern day. So I don't much mind it. I think there are problems with it. I think some of the community is toxic, but I think it could be worse.
Yeah, and I mean, they do have moderators there, and moderators for a reason, so it's not like it's like a wild west out there like you would have on Twitter, right? So there are, you know, things in place that prevent that from happening. But I do agree with you on the fact that Reddit and Twitter are the primary sources of FUD in the RuneScape community. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt whenever it comes to any kind of update. So there's that. But compared to other... I'm going to defend it too. Compared to other subreddits out there, I think the people in this community are downright peaceful, and there's an actual respect between the people who play RS3 and the ones who play old school, because they have different subreddits, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like the toxicity of old school is creeping into the RS3 subreddit, right?
Thank goodness, yes.
Yeah. So, it's just... And one other thing I think I can mention now is that speaking from a fan site owner perspective, I personally don't get how the Reddit qualifies as a fan site. They're an official fan site.
It
is? On the fan site list, yeah.
That's strange. I mean, it's just a glorified forum,
message board,
really.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, like, this is nothing against the people who run it, but I'm just wondering, I mean, maybe it was made clear in something we missed in the fan site declarations, but I don't see how a Reddit fits in there. So.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about that, but...
What I feel about the Reddit, and it's very like intellectually interesting when it comes to the RuneScape Reddit, right? Because
really?
RuneScape itself has been around for quite a long time, right? Like it's been around since, for the most part, since before you know, things like Dig and Reddit and all these sort of massive message boards became really popular, which is why we're here on RSBNB, because that's when, you know, internet forums and whatnot started, you know, becoming more popular. And I think that it's very interesting because it's on a game that's been around for a while, whereas for the most part, when you're talking about subreddits, they're really new fans of different games, such as, say, for instance, Battlefield or Call of Duty or Fallout or Destiny or something like that. You know, games that have been released in the past little while. So when it comes to Reddit, the things that are upvoted are, you kind of get a chance to look at things at the same time other people are as well in the release cycle. Whereas with RuneScape, it's just such a different type of game that, you know, it's updated constantly and has been for, like, you know, basically the past 15 years or so, that it's lent itself to a different type of community than other video games on Reddit. And I think that's what makes it different, is because there's all sorts of different types of people commenting on the RuneScape Reddit. Whereas for the most part, in things like, for example, the Mass Effect Reddit or Skyrim or Fallout or, you know, all those other sorts of things, for the most part, people have the same views on those things, because they'll see something that's coming out and then they'll be like, oh, you know, this is, you know, interesting, or, oh, I hate this. Whereas with RuneScape, you'll have many different sorts of opinions. Now, when it comes to the RuneScape subreddit, I haven't actually looked at it specifically so much, but it seems like there's a little bit of, you know, sense of popularity coming from disdain, which I believe, yeah, that's a little bit negative. But if we consider that... no publicity is bad publicity, then I think it can only be a good thing for Jagex, in that they're creating publicity for their game. But I'm not sure. Well, if it's truly terrible. Right?
I mean, they didn't have this as a way of interacting with the players before. Mm-hmm. Previously, all they had was the official forums. Now they have Twitter, the Facebook page, and of course the subreddit, and that drastically decreases the barrier of entry. And I think you do find different community member types at each of those different sources, right? Mm-hmm. So in terms of what you say, no publicity is bad publicity. That's entirely true here. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from, like what I said, the objectionable thing on here, Dusk Mode QBD. Okay, that's interesting. Let's see. There's a one here, the Lucky Perk. Your Lucky Perk reduces the damage of this attack by 5504. Fan art, Sea Singer's Cavern. So, I mean, it's not as though there's garbage on here. The stuff is actually good. Mm-hmm. And I think it only becomes negative when there is an update that the general consensus is that things are not right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, I think I defended it, but I think I also illustrated what I see as my problems.
Yeah, I think you took a more moderate view than I anticipated you would, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, anyone who wants to see what it looked like at the time of recording here, you can just head on over to youtube.com/rspmbstaff.
And that's an anomaly. Like, there's rarely stuff like that on the... I feel like it's an anomaly. I don't know. I hope it's an anomaly. Regardless, moving on.
All right. Submitted 1 year ago. There's only two things I don't like. Change in the way things are. Average RS player's opinion, 2164 upvotes.
What?
Yes.
Where's this? What?
I went to top post for the last year.
Huh. Change in the way things are. That sounds very similar to a Shane quote.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Stay the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a grumpy cat image. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let us move on to tech news. Thank you, Sirion. If you guys want to send questions in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com or find the topic in midweek at update.rsbnb.com/ask. Or you can leave us a voicemail on Google Voice at 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so first piece of tech news. Today, Twitter announced that they've suspended more than 125,000 accounts since mid-2015 for threatening or promoting terrorist actions.
Hmm.
Yes. They say, we condemn the use of Twitter to promote terrorism, and the Twitter rules make it clear that this type of behavior or any violent threat is not permitted on our service. While a welcome move, Twitter's effort to suspend terrorist accounts is long overdue, according to Rabbi Abraham Cooper, Associate Dean of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, who heads up the human rights NGO's Digital Terrorism and Hate Project.
Interesting.
Yeah, apparently ISIS sends out 200,000 tweets a day.
Holy, what?
Yeah.
I knew there were a presence on Twitter, but good lord. I'm glad that Twitter's trying to at least take a bit of a stand against that.
Yeah, and I mean, this is good that they're doing this, but there's a big but with this. And do you guys know what that is?
I don't know. I you're going the free speech route,
no,
aren't you?
No, I'm not going to.
No,
say
you're
that,
not.
Actually.
Okay,
I'm not going to say that. Actually,
no. He's going to go on the. I think he's going to go on the basis of. Oh God, how do I explain this? They're, you know, banning some but not others. Is that
no.
what you're going to go about? Oh, okay.
Explain.
I'm going to say that they shouldn't be banning any of them.
How so?
Here's what they should be doing instead. They should be shadow banning them.
Hmm.
As in, they ban them, but it doesn't say you're banned. It just makes it so your tweet doesn't see the light of day to anyone who they mark as a terrorist.
Oh, like what they do on Reddit. because I know they do a lot of shadow banning on Reddit for spam and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it makes it seem like they're doing something in their room.
And the reason that this is because if you get these people on Twitter and you encourage them to use the service, or rather don't prevent them from using the service, that means their data is going into a United States company, and that means it makes them susceptible to be monitored by the United States government and acted upon. Whereas if you push them off the platform, you push them to platforms that are fully encrypted, anonymous, and you can't really track them down. So if they are on the platforms that are, you know, publicly available for everyone to use, then you can track them better. So while this is excellent what they're doing, they definitely need to do it in just maybe a bit of a different way, as to not force them off to some other, you know, solution entirely, because otherwise, well, you're fighting a battle you can't win.
Yeah.
So, but nonetheless, it's a smart move, and I don't know if full outright banning is the best way to go, but perhaps shadow banning would work better.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Because when you think about it, Twitter has the majority of its servers in the United States.
Mm.
And you don't need to, you know, go through as many hoops as you do if you were in the EU or somewhere else on a server like that. Granted, you still need their cooperation, but it's going to be a lot easier to track these people down, get their IP addresses, find out where they're coming from, and ultimately control what they're tweeting. And then, of course, on the free speech end, well, you have to make sure that you're silencing the right people and they are directly promoting, you know, terrorist actions.
Yeah, so. Agreed.
Yeah, I like your idea of shadow banning.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you force them off to something that's encrypted and, you know, hosted in someone's basement, how are you going to shut them down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas if they're on Twitter, it's easier to control that way. So it just needs to make sure that, you know, the right people are being silenced and not the people who are actually fighting them. So, fingers crossed. I feel a strike of optimism with this news posting here, but apparently the shareholders don't feel that great because, well, Twitter kept diving in terms of its prices this week.
Hmm.
Anyways, anything else on that one?
Not for me.
Nope. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Alrighty then. Well, any of you guys use SwiftKey on your phones? It is available on Android and iOS.
No.
I do not. What is SwiftKey anyways?
It's a custom keyboard that you can install. It first appeared on Android, and then it was brought to iOS with iOS 8. And basically, its claim to fame is that you can skin your keyboard to look differently. But it's also got a little swipe mode where you can drag your finger around it. And you can show off, you can just basically type with a gesture rather than actually pressing keys. And they say it's a lot faster. Personally, I prefer still typing like normal, so I haven't really used SwiftKey that much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But SwiftKey was bought by Microsoft this week for $250 million.
That is a large amount of money.
Yes, indeed. Also, 100,000 users. And the reason behind this is that they want to integrate the SwiftKey prediction technology, the AI, behind it into Microsoft's own WordFlow keyboard that they're using on Windows Phone and is coming to Android and iOS later this year.
Oh, so they're trying to consolidate the keyboard market then, I guess.
Yeah, because SwiftKey is commercial, whereas I believe Swipe It is open source on Android. So Microsoft, of course, bought the commercial one.
Mm-hmm.
They say they estimate users have saved at least 10 trillion keystrokes.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you guys haven't tried it, give it a try. It's available on both iOS and Android safe. The only downside about using it on iOS is you can't use the voice dictation, and that was the reason I did not use SwiftKey, because there will be times where I find it easier to talk to the phone rather than type into it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used the type to text or talk to text feature just because I've always found it too cumbersome. And whenever I'm texting, I'm not really ever in a location that I want to be speaking loudly. So,
all right,
I'll look into that.
Yeah, it's called SwiftKey, one word, free. But just before we move on to the last piece of tech news, SwiftKey and Intel actually partnered to build the rig that Stephen Hawking uses to talk with. Yeah, so if the prediction's good enough for Stephen Hawking, it's got to be good enough for the rest of us, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Microsoft does with this. And Microsoft has had a real good history recently of acquisitions that definitely help further their platform and everyone else's platform, because most of their apps have become platform agnostic recently. Alrighty. And our last piece of tech news this week is a video, once again by Microsoft. Oops, sorry about that loud bang. Oh, you heard that, eh?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that was quite the bang.
Anyways, it's called Imagining the Future for NFL Fans. And basically what this is a demonstration of Microsoft technology centering around their HoloLens project that turns your living room into a interactive football experience for, of course, the Super Bowl. Examples they give are, top-down views of what the arena looks like if where it's being held, enlarging your TV screen to take up an entire wall with HoloLens, and also getting, visual augmentation of what's actually going on within the game. So this is, very interesting to see Microsoft putting its vision into reality, because the HoloLens is an actual existing product that retails for around $3,000, so still kind of expensive, but it's definitely in the realm of possibility, unlike Microsoft's earlier advancements. Another one they just showed was showing the play that was going on the coffee table. So very interesting to see this in action. And it kind of makes you think of what can become mainstream in about 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because who would have imagined 10 years ago we'd have computers that could, fit in our pockets and be an iPad that is as powerful as a desktop computer. So very nice indeed.
And if they can get this working for the NFL, the possibilities are endless, because when you think about it, most team arena sports are kind of similar when you think about it, hockey, basketball, even, football and soccer. They're all kind of similar in that aspect. So if they can get it working for this, they could get it working for pretty much any sport. And it makes you wonder what the future would hold for things like the Olympics or, the World Cup of Soccer and whatnot.
It'd
be really neat to see.
And, I've long maintained that Microsoft has the grand vision of the future in terms of implementing it, because we don't really see too much in terms of what Apple is planning for it. And same with Google. I get the feeling that Apple and Google are more around using technology to enhance the little things that we do, whereas Microsoft enhances around us, if you kind of get where I'm going with that. But
yeah,
very neat. Apparently there's a big football game this weekend.
Yes. There always?
I don't know.
We're Canadian, Shane. We don't have to know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All we know is that there's a big hockey game this weekend.
There is?
Of course there is. There's always a big hockey game on the weekend.
All right.
Hockey night in Canada, man.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I'm going to move on to the Skill of the Month update then, if there's no objections.
Go ahead.
Alrighty, so we do have a three-way race going on here for the Constitution Skill of the Month, or Hit Points, as the Skill of the Month bot likes to call it. Currently, we have Sorensen 57 in first place with 1.4 million XP gained. Meanwhile, Davo, aka Dave, is in second with 1.3, and Parnassius is a close third with 1.1 million XP. So we actually have a top three-way race going on here.
Could this stay competitive
for the rest of the month?
I don't know.
It's hard to race for that long. It really is.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. I mean, it goes along with invention. I know that we're not doing invention this week, but as long as invention stays sort of a combat skill for the time being, you're doing a lot of hit point training while you're doing invention, so I guess it still works in tandem.
Yeah, and you can train it, with magic or ranged or or melee, whichever you so choose to do. So that works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, there we go on that.
It's nice to see that everyone that signed up got at least a little bit of XP.
Yes, indeed. That is good. That's very good. Next up, of course, we have the Informer Roundup, since we did cover the first of the month here. So that is conveniently titled The Invention Convention of Articles. You guys like that one?
I did. I really liked your roundup, actually.
Yeah, I know. Mine are always the best.
They are the best. It's true.
Yeah, anyways.
Yes, dear leader.
Anyways, that's the roundup of everything we did in January, including the multitude of invention coverage we had, the 15th anniversary, and Colton's impressive slate of quests 2016 overview, in which you talk about the quests that we can expect. So you can find all that and more at informer.rsbnb.com. Also, Alex's article is up. It's an alternative quiz about the 15 years of RuneScape history. Some of these questions even stumped me, so I'll let you guys read that. But he had good fun writing that, I think.
It's a fun read. Go take a look at it, guys.
Yeah, it really is. What was my score when you quizzed me on this?
I had lots of fun reading it out to you last night while we were doing our nightly World of Tanks session, and I think you ended up getting 7 out of 15, and I was very surprised. it's a really good quiz. I liked it. I even got a few questions right myself that I would have known.
Yeah,
so I was pretty happy with that. Neat little different sort of Informer article.
Yeah, I actually gave him that idea. It just came to me one day. So, but yeah, informer.rsbnb.com. And, there is a part of this article that says, send your results to Shane via RSBNB Forums PM, to whom I will provide a list of answers, correct answers, all the correct answers. The winner will receive a PM from me with a glorified text quote of Shane yelling at me for making my thousands of fans spam him with incorrect quiz answers.
He always has an interesting way of putting things, doesn't he?
He really does. He really does.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways, let's move on to the achievables of the week. Colton?
On February 4th of 2016, Sun Shaman got 99 strength. On January 31st of 2016, Sirion got 99 divination. And on January 29th of 2016, Fourth Power got 99 attack. Congratulations, guys.
Woo! We kind of both did the same thing there, didn't we?
Yeah, great minds think alike. What can we say?
Yeah, they really do. They really do.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh.
Alrighty, so pick of the week time. Something called Rainy Mood?
Yes, this is my pick of the week. It's called Rainy Mood. Something I don't really need that much of up here in the Pacific Northwest, as it's, consistently raining all the time anyways, but I really, really actually enjoy this when just listening to music when you're trying to relax and, right before going to bed, because it's like a rainstorm in the background and you can just be doing other things. It's just so peaceful and calming, but someone who's grown up around a lot of rain, it's really neat. So yeah, it's a cool sight that you can just go on and have on the background, or you can mix and match with the YouTube doubler for music and whatnot. I really enjoy it. You go to it at rainymood.com.
Yeah, some people make you pay for these things.
Yeah, it's been free for quite a while.
Apparently they have an app on the App Store.
Yeah.
If only If only snowstorms were more pronounced in their sounds.
Yeah.
Huh.
But they've got this cool thing where you can take, like, the, you know, the YouTube URL of a YouTube video? Like, it has the V equals and whatever.
Yep.
If you add that on to the end of rainymood.com, you can actually, it will actually rainymoodify your music, so to speak. Which is really neat.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And
Oh wow, the app is $5.49.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Therein lies the some people make you pay for this sort of thing.
Yeah. All right.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
And it's just with the Inception soundtrack.
Yeah, it's they have different soundtracks and music things that you can add to it. Sound really good.
Really neat.
Yeah.
And it's free. On the website, at least. You can find that at rainymood.com.
Woo.
Anything else you'd like to say about it?
I think that's pretty much it.
Alrighty. Well, you can find the link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. So, Colton, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, gosh. I mean, real life, a lot of classes, got some five-week courses coming to a head, midterms, all that fancy, lovely stuff. So just been busy with all that kind of junk. But in game, I gave Invention a break. I haven't gained any levels since last week's show. I'm still level 52. I'm waiting for the augmentable skilling tools to come out because I don't like combat. So that's a thing. I've literally done, I think, nearly 30 Elite Clue Scrolls this week.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's easy to do elf thieving when I'm in my free time, and I use the Alt-1 toolkit for clue solving, and I can knock out an elite clue in probably 15 minutes, depending on how bad the scans are. Like, I got Chaos Tunnels today, and it was
Do we know if Alt-1 is legal?
It's... Right now, it's fine. It's perfectly legal to use. It's just, it's a use at your own risk kind of thing. Like, they could start messing with the code if some of the developers went insane or someone got a hand at the source code or something. But yeah, it's safe right now. So until further notice, it's fine. But it's so friggin' nice. If you're really worried about things, about it impacting your gameplay, you can just go to, I mean, runeapps.org is, I think you can just upload screenshots and it'll help you solve like Celtic knots and things like that without actually downloading the application if you are afraid of that sort of thing.
So
that's an option.
If that's the case, why are not skip tickets going for $230k each?
I don't know. I guess people don't know about this. It makes knots like literally about 10 seconds. It's so
They're
nice.
Not that hard.
I hate the knots. I love the puzzles. I do the puzzles myself because I'm fast at the puzzles.
I'm fast at the puzzles too and the knots.
I just don't like the knots.
Why?
I don't.
There's an algorithm to it. I'll explain it to you one day.
Keep your dirty algorithms. But yeah, this has basically been what I... No dies, unfortunately. I've gotten... My best loot was a Fury Ornamental, like, kit. So I've looted no more than about 400k from my very best chest.
How many shades were on that Fury Elemental?
What?
How many shades of Fury were on that?
Shades of Fury? Like, shades of gray or something? Or
50 shades of Fury?
50 shades of...
Well, you know, the Fury... Shades are
awfully suggestive.
Well, no, it's something I did to make Patrick laugh.
Yeah.
I see. You were successful. But yeah, that's been what I've been up to. How about you guys?
Go ahead, Patrick.
No, I'm good. What have I been doing recently? Well, not too much recently. I've been kind of just saving up money, going to work, you know, that sort of thing, and coming home, having a bite to eat, and then coming online and playing some World of Tanks and Rocket League whenever I've got time to. So nothing too interesting going on in my life. Notice that the last time I was on was in September. So honestly, the only thing that's changed since then is that I'm not quite as poor as I was then.
That's always good.
That's always good to save up. Yeah. Yeah, nothing too interesting though.
All right. I got level 39 invention. I did that by way of fighting the dark beasts. I do plan to continue on. It's just a question of, do I do it now or do I wait until we have that update that brings in the augmentable equipment? I'm kind of itching to, you know, augment my royal crossbow and siphon it off every 9 levels and just continue at the dark beasts, because I do want to get 99 ranged. So I did get 99 ranged I did not get 99 ranged this week. I got 95 ranged. Getting ahead of myself. So,
at least you're more than halfway there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. After all. Question, after though. All. I don't know if you know, Colton. Does the amount of weapon XP you get vary if you're on a Slayer task?
For invention?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so... It does not. If I'm on a Dark Beast task, I'll get the same amount of XP if I'm not on that task.
Yeah, correct.
All right. That was a question I had this week. See, even your co-host has these kind of questions that I could look up on my own, but I just knew that our other co-host here would have the answer for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Indeed. Indeed. But no, aside from that, not that much. You know, I still like the idea of using your other skills to train invention, which is what I'm going to be doing, so that's nice. But yeah, that's about it, I think. I don't think we have anything else to say here this week, do we?
Nope.
I don't think so either.
Gun ourselves
it's been
in.
A wonderful time.
Indeed, it always is a wonderful time when you're on the show with us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you guys are what make it amazing. Let's be honest.
Aww. Good. All right, then. Good. Well, we'll see you next week, everyone. Remember, we're in Friends Chat Bits Bytes if you want to come and say hi to us or just spend your time in RS with us. And once again, thank you for sharing your time with us listening.
Farewell.
Bye-bye.